Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you very much. Hi, everybody. Nice to have you with us today here on CUTV News Radio. We have a fascinating guest with us this morning. She is a lawyer. She has done many, many things in her career. And I think you're going to be fascinated to hear her whole story. In any event, she is located out in the gorgeous area of Pagosa Springs, Colorado, where it's around 70 degrees at this hour. The skies are clear. The wind is calm. And she's about 20 miles, I think, about that from the New Mexico border in Colorado, out in the midst of some of the most extraordinary beauty you can possibly imagine. So it's a real pleasure to be able to talk to somebody in a situation like that this morning. Her name is Constance DeAngelis, and she's the founder of the Institute for Peaceful Solutions. She works with individuals to help them manifest their dreams and goals through mindfulness. She coaches her clients to follow through on their intentions and then also to learn a lot of new skills. As she points out, she was working with a lot of lawyers and realized they were all very bright, but none of them could close their eyes even for 5 minutes and relax. Without mindfulness, she says, you're caught up in fear. So, being a lawyer herself, she created something she called the Seven Laws series, seven ways of using mindfulness to magnetize success. Now, those laws are the laws of unity, perception, cause and effect, alignment, giving, mental attention, and freedom. As Constance points out, we've been trained early in life to believe a certain way. If we can become more objective and recognize where we are interposing our own perception into situations, we can clarify an awful lot. And it depends if you want to reach your highest level of consciousness and be as powerful and as clear as you can be. Now, Constance says mindfulness is about taking responsibility for your thoughts. You may be doing one thing and thinking something entirely different. And when you do that, there is a conflict. And the real question is, what decisions can you make based on your own integrity? And that's alignment. This is all about being deliberate and affirming within yourself this responsibility. If you pay attention to what you want in your life, you believe your actions will follow that attention. This may sound a little strange, but I'm going to get Constance to explain all this for us. But she does point out that following the laws ultimately leads to freedom, and you're free to be who you are, and it's a real celebration when you do that. She has a lot of things to point out. She's done a lot of stuff as a lawyer, and now it's pretty interesting to find out what she's doing, especially based out in the beautiful, almost wilderness where she is, of Colorado and in the Rockies. So let's say good morning to our guest, Constance DeAngelis, who's based in Pagosa Springs, Colorado. Constance, good morning. How are you today?
Oh, good morning, Doug. It is such a pleasure to speak with you. I'm doing absolutely wonderfully, and it is gorgeous here. We're on mountain time, so it's like about 9 a.m. here, and it's fabulous. What can I say?
I know that you lived in Florida much of your life. I'm wondering what attracted you to this area where you are now, out in Colorado in the mountains. What brought you there?
Wow, that's a really good question. Sometimes I call it divine intervention because I can't figure it out. I lived in Florida since the late 70s. I was transferred there with Owens Corning Fiberglass, and then got my Juris Doctor degree there and practiced law there for, oh my gosh, many, many years. I found that the heat and humidity was kind of interesting. And then it became very, very crowded. And then, of course, after many years, one gets into other ideas. And I got into a lot of continuing education. So I started creating educational programs. And when I was able to put them online, I realized, oh my goodness, I can be anywhere in the world. Where is the most fabulous place that I might be able to be? And somehow or other, Pagosa Springs came up because it's relatively small. It's just west of the Continental Divide. And the area is really almost magical at times. Chimney Rock is here, has a lot of Native American influence, and a lot of retirees and people who have a lot of really great ideas, a lot of enthusiasm, terrific hiking. Well, I could go on and on. And we have some lakes and a few other minor things here. And being a sailor and a scuba diver in the past, this is kind of fun. Yeah. So I don't know. Long answer to a short question.
So anyway, how long have you been there now?
I am now a resident of the state of Colorado as of May of this year.
Oh, so you're a relatively new member of the resident of Colorado.
The community.
And do you love it?
Right.
Do you love
right.
it?
I love it. Yeah, I do.
I'm sure
I
you
do love it. And of course, I do get back to Florida, and I have a lot of I do mediations. Mostly in mortgage modifications in the federal court, and I do get back to Florida because I'm also a licensed massage therapist, which is kind of like an avocation because
no,
I just
that's
love it.
Too much. A lawyer who's a licensed massage therapist. Now that's really a stretch. That's hard to believe. Good for you. Good for you. Let me ask you about what you have formed here, called the Institute for Peaceful Solutions. Did you start that in Colorado? Is that what inspired you when you got out to Colorado, or was this something that has been in your mind for quite some time and actually began while you were living in Florida?
Well, it probably the answer to that is both. I was out in Colorado just traveling. Back in 2004 or 2005, I had been taking care of my mom, and she passed on. And I was able to take a little break, and there were also some very dramatic events at that time in a case that I was involved in regarding death and dying. And I was able to take a break from that. So I traveled across country with my German Shepherd dog and came across Pagosa Springs and really fell in love with it and thought it was fabulous. And the whole idea of this Institute for Peaceful Solutions, which avoiding conflict within and avoiding conflict outside of oneself, which is another reason to become a mediator, is really, really, really important. I mean, war, whether it's litigation or sending troops to kill each other and take over territory, either one of those I find to be repulsive. And I don't believe the human race needs to keep doing that, okay, personal concept. Anyhow, and so I kind of got the idea here and started a nonprofit and then continued. It's Florida Corporation now, and an accountant talked me into making it a for-profit corporation, and the reason was because we were losing so much money. And he said you should take advantage of that. I laughed.
My gosh.
But anyway.
Good for you. So tell me, what is the Institute for Peaceful Solutions? How do you describe it?
Well, oh, boy, that's a good one. Great question. Resolution of any and all conflict, whether it be from within or from without, can be done in a peaceful solution. There's always a way to find common ground. Always. Therefore, looking for that peaceful solution through strategy, it also is very important for creating a strategy of operation. If you're in a business or a practice or a something where you're, you know, serving and doing business and expecting to have a profit or whatever, or a nonprofit that's serving the community or some fragment of it, there's always a solution where there's a conflict. And that includes domestic violence. That includes all of those kinds of abusive things that are you know, prevalent in our society. Anything societal has the ability to be solved peacefully. I mean, we have a couple things in the area of law. Collaborative law, used a lot in family disputes. Restorative justice, used in criminal actions. There are operations out there in the law as well as in communities where resolution is determined, and the first way you do it is, well, that's where the law of unity came from, and that is you find common ground, and that's within self. If you want personal growth, which I do, self-growth, I want my consciousness to increase in value and frequency because I believe that that is part of the whole, and that part of that whole where we increase our consciousness, our frequency, our caring, our community orientation, our global outreach, et cetera, and influence our sphere of influence, whatever that may be. And lawyers have a huge sphere of influence. So anyway, that's really what it's all about. And I work directly as a mentor with individuals or with companies where we work with the leaders and then also come up with programs to work with the employees so that people can begin to, and again, you're not going to all believe the same thing. I mean, I have friends that are, you know, very, very religious in the Christian orientation and all of that, and then I have friends that believe there's UFOs and, you know, all of that. So, you know, you go from one extreme to another. And there's always common ground. I mean, we're all breathing the same air, you know, walking
That's
on
true.
The same earth, you know, in the
you know,
bodies
it's interesting.
That function.
You mentioned as a lawyer, you do mediation in Florida. And it sounds to me like what the Institute for Peaceful Solutions is, as you described it, is kind of a mediation service, which is really what you've been doing as a lawyer. Am I on the right path there?
I think you are, and it extends beyond an in-court kind of situation. I've been working with people here in a family situation, mother and daughter, for example, that have disputes within their relationship. I'm not a family lawyer, and this is not a law situation. It deals with a lot of different issues. But when you get down to the core, you've got a relationship issue that deals with each individual's personal feelings and perceptions with respect to how they relate to the other person. How does mom relate to daughter? How does daughter relate to mom? What are their motives? And that's how the law of perception was born, is really taking a look at that. And what, you know, you got to be willing to do it. Now, you can do some external, you know, fix the real estate issues and handle all that kind of stuff and make sure the conflict minimizes. But if you really are willing, I mean, heck, you can grow consciously and become a really happy person.
Well, that's true. No question about it. Derek, I want to go through the seven laws that you have created, the seven laws of unity. But I want to ask you, first off, this organization that you've, you know, the Institute for Peaceful Solutions, how does this work? I assume you founded this in Colorado. I mean, is it based there? Is this something that people around the country can take advantage of or can use the services of? Or describe a little bit about how you work, how it works, or how it exists,
okay.
I guess.
Right. We work, of course, a lot with Internet. I do have continuing education programs, mostly for lawyers and for mediators, and they are accredited. So this is a Florida corporation, but yeah, almost everything is done either over telephone, Internet, Skype, and now we're looking at Zoom and a few other things so we can all be connected. For example, I do mortgage modification mediations in the U.S. District Court. There's only one U.S. district. There's four districts in Florida, United States, federal courts, and there is one in Arizona. And I'm actually authorized as a mortgage mediator in the bankruptcy court. So we are all over, and I helped establish our first order. I'm so proud. The first order came out of the Middle District of Florida, and I sat with one other colleague and one of the judges, and we came up with our first court order for requiring mortgage mediation before the case went further. And now we had a summit, and all the districts got together, and all of the creditors and debtors' attorneys and all of that, and the judges all got together, and now it's spread all over the country. I'm so proud.
You should be. You mentioned a term.
Yeah.
Explain the term it just jumped out at me. When you say mortgage modification mediation, what really do you mean by mortgage? I have an idea of what I think it is, but I don't know if I'm right. Tell me what mortgage modification. You're changing the rules of the mortgage after it's in effect? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, it is. And it has a lot to do with the investor. When the Great Recession, I mean, if you remember less than 10 years ago, when the housing market crashed, a lot of commercial market crashed, we had Wall Street issues, the mortgages were being bundled into securities, which is the same thing that's going on with student loans right now, which is also one of my hot buttons.
Right.
Because, a student education is really important to me. But anyway, and so what happened was a lot of the people who had the mortgages, their property values plummeted, or they lost their jobs at that time. If anybody remembers that time, I don't remember the dates right now, but it was really hard on a lot of people. A lot of companies were suffering. And so we came up with a program to find a way to modify mortgages so that if the person could afford it, then we could. There would be a modification, and it might even be short-term modification. It might be a 1 to 5 year, and that was political. That was put in through the White House, and so we started looking at what we could do with that, and the states were really working on it, and so they were requiring mediation. So what happened was we ended up coming up with a program called HAMP, Home Affordable Program, okay? So if you can afford the home and there's a way that you can do it, a lot of paperwork involved, let me tell you, there's a way to modify that mortgage, and now there are ways to have a new mortgage recorded, and the property values are starting to come up, so... we contributed to making the success of the recovery that could have gone into a deep depression. So, I feel proud about that, too.
Well, you should. In other words, it allowed people to work out a situation with the mortgage holder so they could stay in their home and still make the payments on it.
Right, they could stay in their homes, if they could afford it. And there was some help from the government. And there were programs. If an investor received TARP funds, then they were supposed to follow through with the program. Now that program sunset as of December 31st of this last year. I doubt that we'll see anything more of that.
I want to get into your seven laws of unity that you've called here. Do me a favor, describe them. Now this is in connection, of course, with your work with the Institute for Peaceful Solutions. Describe them. The laws are, and we'll go through them. How about perception? Number one, the law of unity. How about that?
All right. The law of unity basically says if you can within your consciousness or cognizance or awareness, if you can align yourself with yourself as well as with others, In other words, find common ground, like we've said before, especially in relationship to yourself. A lot of people are living in fear. I see it, I feel it, I notice it, I work with it all the time. And they don't even realize they're fearful. And so it's really good to kind of take an awareness of, all right, am I doing what I'm thinking? I mean, if I want to go to North Carolina, I'm not going to go west. I'm going to go east. So, you know, just, you know, if I'm thinking west, I'm not going to get to North Carolina that way. So, in my car, that is. Anyhow, so
right.
That's
yes.
What's important. That's what's important. And you start within. A lot of people say, oh, no, I just have to deal with the situation externally. Well, usually, because of the power of the mind, we create a lot of what we have externally in our lives. So the next law, then, of perception, and I think you described it extremely well. We learn... I mean, heck, I'm a human being. I was raised a certain way. I was raised in parochial schools in Toledo, Ohio. I was raised a certain way to believe a certain way and to all of that. And some of that was really good for me and some of it not so much. And so I have a perception, and your parents have a perception. Your culture has a perception. And when one can take that out, almost like, out of yourself, put it out on a table and look at it, okay, you can realize whether that perception is good for you or maybe not so good. And then if you quiet your mind, your thoughts will have tremendous power. And recognizing your perception and your unification within, and that's, again, for self-help, but you use the same theory when you're working with an individual or a group or whatever situation happens to occur. The next is cause and effect. And I think the biggest thing in cause and effect, and there are a lot of things here, is conscious eating. I have noticed so many people who are overweight, we have an incredible increase in our obesity rate. I see it with little kids. We all do. And you say, what in the world is going on? Well, watch people eat. As a matter of fact, I'm in the process. I've already outlined a book on the 7 laws of mindful eating. I'm going to use the law of cause and effect really strongly because we can change that. We can really change that. Then we'll get into the really hard one, the law of alignment. That's the 4th law. That law says I am going to align myself with my truth, and I am going to be a genuine conduit for my integrity. Now, unless you've kind of gone through the other parts that we just talked about, it's pretty hard to know exactly where integrity is. Now, if you start relying on listening to other people and say, let's just say as a lawyer, and I've done a number of things, and whether or not it's in the area of health or law or education, if you only rely on what the rules of ethics are, you're going to come up short because you've got a level of integrity where you can move forward and be really, really sure that you are avoiding distractions and you can fulfill your destiny and you don't have struggle, conflict, or worry while you do it. Now, what are distractions? You've got to release yourself from a distraction. Why? Because they create loops. Of anger, hate, bias. Let me think of a few others here.
Well, Stephanie, you're giving a good idea, a good rundown there.
You know, greed, intimidation, hate, you know, like
right.
I said, guilt, shame, blame, all of those things. If you're in that concept and are feeling those things, how in the world do you make good decisions? How can you be in your integrity? Pretty hard to do.
Yeah, yeah, very good point.
So that's why that one's a hard one. Then if you apply what you've learned there and then you put your mental attention into a specific area, then you can, through your own integrity, focus on something that you want or something that you believe is right And I'll just go back to that silly example of if I want to drive to North Carolina, I'm certainly going to choose to go
east,
not west.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So my
right.
mental
yeah.
attention is going to be in that area because we have the power to control our mind. And that's where the mindfulness stuff comes in. Well, it comes in initially anyway, because if you can be quiet enough to recognize all of these things, then you can put the mental attention aspect of it into effect.
Okay.
But you got to focus your mind to be effective.
There's one last one, and that's the law of freedom. Quickly, because we're running out of time here, what is the law of freedom?
Okay.
How do you describe that?
Okay, I would almost call it redemption, because what happens
okay.
is once you've applied your talents, once you're in your integrity, and you know, you may not know what you want, and it may be something different from what you thought, you're free to make that decision. And not only that, it's like a spiral. It's not linear. In other words, you think you got it all handled, and isn't that wonderful? All of a sudden, something else happens, and you go, wow, I need to make another decision. I need to kind of go back and take a look at this. So that's why the law of freedom is so important, because it's like being redeemed from being required to do, you know, anything. I mean, it's you're not. A lot of people say you're a sinner and you'll always be a sinner. Okay, you can believe you're a sinner, but you're redeemed, right? Okay, cool. You know, however you want to look at that, the fact is you can be free, and you have to be responsible for your own freedom.
Well, that's pretty fascinating. Those are the seven laws, and that's really amazing. Now, we have 2-3 minutes left. Quickly, anyone who's listening who wants to avail themselves of the services of the Institute for Peaceful Solutions, what do they have to do, and how do you help them?
All right. They can contact me. They can text directly at 813-373-8004. They can also go online to ConstanceDeAngelis.com. That's just Constance and then DANGELIS.com.
Right.
I just got a note from my web person that something happened, so there may be an issue there. They can email me, they can email me at 7 of health, HEALTH, at
gmail.com.
Right, just the numeral 7. Say that again.
Okay. You repeat.
Gmail.
Go ahead.
7,
yeah,
the numeral 7, laws
yep.
of health at gmail.com. And let them know that they listen to the program. And health means all of health, not just sickness or disease or medical.
Well, that's very interesting. I want to point out now, Angela, Constance is going to be back with us again next week here on CUTV News Radio, right at the same time. So, Constance, we look forward to having you back, and Jim Masters will be with you then, and you can explore more about how the Institute works. And for anybody who wants to avail themselves of your services, that's when you can get increased information. So thank you for taking the time to be with us today. It's been absolutely wonderful, Constance. Thank you so much. Okay?
Well, thank you, Doug. I appreciate it.
Very good. That's it for this edition of CUTV News Radio, everybody. We'll see you next time, okay? Have a great day now. And, Constance, you have a wonderful time out in Colorado where it's so gorgeous. Thank you all. Bye for now.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.